Hey, About Last Night podcast fans, what up? Hey, can we talk for a second? Can we talk money? Let's talk money. Truth is, sometimes honest, hardworking folks need a little bit extra, okay? And some banks don't always make it fast or easy, but I'll tell you who does. Avant! Finally, there's a company who gets it. Avant, A-V-A-N-T. Guess what? They provide access to personal loans from $1,000 to $35,000 without ever stepping foot in a branch. All you got to do is simply go to avantoffer.com and check your competitive rate, okay? Checking your rate is risk-free. There's no risk. Is there a risk? No, man, it's risk-free with no effect on your FICO score, all right? Complete your application in minutes, and the funds could be in your account as soon as tomorrow. See how easy and convenient borrowing is through avantoffer.com. Avant will give you a $50 Amazon.com gift card after you make your first payment on time. Who else does that? Nobody? That's right. For this offer and to check your rate risk-free, go to avantoffer.com and enter promo code LASTNIGHT. That's A-V-A-N-T offer.com, promo code LASTNIGHT. Avantoffer.com, promo code LASTNIGHT. Loans made by WebBank. Funds are generally deposited via ACH for delivery next business day if approved by 4:30 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday. FICO is a registered trademark of Fair Isaac Corporation. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details. Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Thank you so much for listening to the show and subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, the podcast app on your phone, Android, listening on www.aboutlastnightpodcast.com for all past and present episodes. We appreciate the support and the iTunes reviews. You guys have been crushing it lately. If you're listening right now, please take 2 seconds during this intro. Give us a 5-star rating. Comment on the iTunes page. You guys have been crushing it, and that's really been helping us climb the charts. I think we're number 38 right now on the comedy podcast charts on iTunes. We got some love with the Howie Mandel episode a few weeks ago that gave us a featured banner on the podcast page on iTunes. Go back, listen to that episode if you haven't heard, by the way. The Howie Mandel episode was phenomenal. The Jay Moore episode followed that up with a solid one. So many great episodes in the can right now. I wish we could release them all at the same time so you guys could binge listen. I got to be honest, it's like we're really hitting a nice stride, Brad and I, with the guests and the quality of the shows. It's I walk away from each one going, God damn, like what do we post next? Like it's really been tough to figure that out. And you know, we recorded one last night we just had to post immediately. We didn't know when we were going to put it in the queue, but it was so good, it moved right to the top. And I'm talking about today's episode with our guest, Joshua Meyerowitz. You might not recognize that name because he's an up-and-comer, and he is just one of the sweetest, funniest people you'll ever meet. I met him at the Comedy Store. That's where I see him all the time. That he gets to, by the way, in his autistic sponsored van. Josh Meyerowitz has Asperger's, high functioning autism. I don't know if you know anybody with that or you've ever met somebody with that. He's very coherent, very articulate, very, as he will describe, pedantic. It was an unbelievable interview. Not only is the guy so naturally funny, but man, if you don't get your heartstrings tugged at in this episode, something's wrong with you. The dude is so sweet, so locked in on who he is, so unapologetic about who he is, but then very apologetic because of his Asperger's, and it's, you know, he's got no filter. And to hear his upbringing with his folks, you know, figuring out and discovering when he had something a little different and needed to be diagnosed appropriately, how he socially maneuvered through school, and how finding stand-up in the Comedy Store and acceptance in a social group is really eye-opening and unbelievable. It's just, you know, we have a lot of great comedians, actors, musicians on the show with great stories, but very few, you know, have dealt with the types of obstacles that Josh has. And to be where he is and to be as funny, and he was so genuinely pumped to be on the show, and he killed it, man. Made Brad and I laugh genuinely a lot. I don't want to give away any more. I just want you guys to enjoy the hell out of this episode. You're going to be hearing a lot more of this dude as he continues his comedy journey. Follow Josh on Twitter, the best Twitter handle ever, at Autistic Thunder, on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad on Twitter, at Funny Brad. And come see me tomorrow night, excuse me, at the Irvine Improv in Irvine, California. 8 o'clock, I'm headlining Comedy Juice. 8 p.m., the Irvine Improv. Come see me there. And then November 25th, Wednesday through Saturday, in San Francisco, I'm coming back to the Punchline, baby. One of my favorite clubs in the world, San Francisco, California, the Punchline. November 25th through the 28th. Get your tickets at punchlinecomedyclub.com and come see me. And then December 3rd through the 5th, I'll be in New York City in West Nyack, about 40 minutes north, at Levity Live, December 3rd through the 5th. My first time there, super pumped, bringing my buddy Sandy Danto. So come out and see us in West Nyack, New York, December 3rd through the 5th. And Brad Williams, where's he going to be? Well, he'll be at Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank, California, November 27th and 28th. Get your post-Thanksgiving on with Brad in Flappers Comedy Club, Burbank, California, November 27th and 28th. And then go see Brad in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, December 3rd through the 5th at Laughing Gas Comedy Club. Got these comedy club names. Brad could not be performing at two more stereotypical comedy club names back-to-back, Flappers and Laughing Gas. But you know what? They're both great clubs, and Brad's going to crush it. Go see them. Burbank, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, December 3rd through the 5th. And go see Brad and have a good time. And, of course, bring your merch to these shows. You can get your ALN merch at estoymerchandise.com, estoymerchandise.com. Get your shirts, get your mugs, bring them. We'll sign them. We'll take pictures. That support is always greatly appreciated. And of course, listen to past episodes, as we mentioned before, at aboutlastnightpodcast.com. Keep subscribing on iTunes and giving us those five-star ratings and commenting on the iTunes page. So many great episodes coming up. And follow us on Twitter, the new ALN Twitter handle, at ALN Podcast, for all news, notes, episodes, pictures, videos. We're going to be posting videos from the live podcast, the entire video from the live podcast, as well as a lot of fun clips. So get ready to enjoy those. They'll be posted to my YouTube channel. So make sure you're subscribed to my YouTube channel. It's AdamRay24 on YouTube. And so you can get all the ALN clips from that live show. I think that's all the info. Thanksgiving's coming up. We're pumped about that. So many great episodes coming up. Now that we got the Twitter handles out of the way, those are the tour dates. That's all the merch info. So now sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new bonus episode of the About Last Night podcast with the very funny Josh Meyerowitz.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. No podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
All right, well, the most difficult technical start ever.
Well, we have
Josh. How many autistic thunderbolts would you give that opening?
Fucking one, dude. Get your shit in gear, Dad.
One autistic thunderbolt.
Yeah, dude.
Do you not know this rating?
Impossible.
Do you not know this rating system?
All right, so
I don't know the rating system
it.
For
autistic thunderbolts.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so it's a system of five. No in between numbers. So no 1 3/4. No 1.5.
Okay.
Like, it's flat. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If a rating is 3, 4, or 5, it automatically means it's a solid or good movie.
Okay.
If it's a 1 or 2, automatically means it's a bad movie.
All right. So Mighty Ducks 1 would
Mighty get, Ducks 1, many, if I haven't seen it in a long time, but I remember it being still solid. So 3 out of 5 autistic thunderbolts. I remember liking the second one a lot more for some weird reason.
Well, it had the knuckle puck in it.
Yeah, and Kenan Thompson.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow,
so
it really I give that 4 just based off of nostalgia feeling.
Josh, if you could have been in any of the Disney kid movies growing up, and we're talking Sandlot, we're talking Big Red, we're talking Mighty
Big
Ducks,
Red.
We're talking Air Buds, we're talking Holes.
Can
with
I say,
Shia LaBeouf?
Can I say Mighty Ducks because they always found what worked for each kid?
Mm-hmm.
Like with all those other things, it's all about like one particular character that's all great. like with the Mighty Ducks, they found good positions for each kid what they were good at.
Like, so, and like one kid was like from Oklahoma, and they're like, oh, you can really stick handle, and we're gonna give you a rope, and we're gonna make fit for you.
That kid lassoed somebody on the ice, and nobody said shit.
No one said anything.
They cut to the opposing coach, and he just got frustrated that they scored. He didn't say like, what about the lasso?
Yeah, what about the lasso?
Goddamn tomfoolery here.
Yeah, there's not the fact that one
special abilities are not allowed on the ice.
Well, I mean, then that means you and I would be screwed.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Because we have nothing but special abilities.
Oh,
sir.
Special ed abilities. special ed abilities.
You're a huge movie guy.
I'm a big movie
guy. Every time I see you, the first thing you...
Late to the party on a lot of good movies, but yeah, sorry.
Don't fucking cut me off.
Sorry.
No, I'm joking. You might be the sweetest person on planet Earth.
I try my best.
You're very polite.
People.
You do love people, but you're very cautious of not stepping on toes.
I try.
And not getting in somebody's way socially. Yet you shouldn't, because you always have something. You always open with a great conversation. So when you approach me and you're like, "Hey, have you seen this movie?" Like usually, like I don't see a ton of movies, but for whatever reason, you hit on a movie that A, I want to see, or B, that I have actually seen. So then I'm like, "Jesus Christ, you just fucking bum rushed me with a great icebreaker."
Thanks, brother. I appreciate it. By the way, you see The Raid and The Raid 2?
I have seen The Raid.
Oh, my God. Have you seen The Raid 2?
I did. The Raid 2 Redemption?
The Raid is...
The Raid Redemption.
The Indonesian release, it's just called The Raid.
Yeah.
Or what? I forget.
This is like the greatest action movie you've ever seen in your life.
So so violent.
Indonesian release is the name of a movie or position in Indonesia?
That would be great. It'd be illegal, but great.
He already knows it'd be illegal.
Doing.
Yeah.
Anyways, sorry. Shout out Cyril Skakel. Anyways.
So how many autistic thunderbolts does the Indonesian release get?
Well, it's not the Indonesian release. It's the
sex position.
Oh, I can't. I don't even want to imagine it. Once again, it is horrifyingly illegal. You go down to Jakarta, you're gonna be doing something illegal with someone of questionable age and sexual gender. Like it's gonna
questionable
be
gender.
Yeah.
I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that. Nope, I support the LGBTQ. Yep.
Sure.
The Q means questionable, right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. I've been thinking about that a lot.
Not that I know. That I go through a bunch of bars in West Hollywood and go.
I have a bunch of gay friends. Just have questions.
What do you think about a lot? What's on your daily mind?
These days, especially, I'm a and it's not just out of Judaism. I am a gigantic self-loather. By the way, I want to go back to The Raid just quickly because. Yeah. We should probably tell the audience. I have Asperger's, high functioning form of autism. Part of it is I'm very pedantic.
Oh,
that too.
Yeah. Wow,
passionate too.
SAT word.
Trust me, I recently learned the definition, so you know you gotta expand your vocabulary best to your ability.
You really do.
I try. I'm not smart. Anyways.
But you're constantly absorbing new words.
Sort of. I hear the words, but sometimes I'm too lazy and look up the
definition. Now, is pedantic, that's not a word I hear too often, and I want to say I feel like the last time I heard it was from someone with high-functioning Asperger's.
Tell you, the very first time I heard a word without knowing the definition was an episode of Family Guy.
I love that.
And then like, years later, I ended up, I don't know for what reason, maybe I was reading a something awful forum post or something, and the word was used. I'm like, I'm going to look at the definition.
Yeah.
It's someone who goes, if I'm defining this correctly, goes out of their way to make sure every detail is exact.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you'd say that's the strongest definition of
but it's a part of it.
Okay,
it's a we went from one subject to another, and now it's driving me crazy.
Okay, do you want
to
finish Raid?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Here I apologize. Go. I don't mean
to
be rude.
Not at all.
All right, so
you're detailed.
The Indonesian release, it's just called The Raid. For the American release, for some odd reason, they decided to tack on the subtitle for the first movie. Redemption.
Right.
There is no redemption in this movie. Absolutely not. It's maybe in a loose sense, but otherwise, it is just gunshots and well choreographed martial arts.
Which is all you need in a movie.
Yeah. Indonesians don't do kung fu. It's pencak silat.
Wow.
That's
I read a lot of Japanese comic books with martial arts in them. So
really? Are they sexual?
Oh, yeah. Right. There's this one.
Could you say it less like you're jerking off as you're responding?
Can I tell you? Can I tell you? When I mostly jack off to real people porn, mm-hmm. but once in a while when you don't feel like it, Japanese animated porn. Because titties, that's why. That's how much I love tits.
Just like even they're drawn.
The Japanese do it in such a different way that somehow it's like... I couldn't masturbate to Jessica Rabbit, but
really?
No, but there's something.
I feel like that would be the go-to cartoon.
I love
for most people. That's what they usually think. Oh, so you masturbate Jessica Rabbit? No,
she's not anime.
No,
she's animated.
Anime girls are sus. I can't explain it. They're somewhat different. Listen,
well, they're fucking cartoons.
I know, dude. You don't have to explain it to me.
They're somewhat different. They're not real.
I'm talking in terms of anime.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, the Raids 1 and 2 are fantastic martial arts flicks, and masturbate to Japanese anime. You don't know what you got in you. Just there's some gross stuff out there, so try to be cautious.
What is the grossest thing you've caught yourself typing in to an anime porn search engine?
I'm not thinking because there's a lot of them. I'm just trying to remember because my main thing is like tits.
You love tits.
I'm a big boob fetishist.
Now, let me see
you
this
me
too.
Both, brother.
Yeah, and well, hey, I also am a part of this club, and I want to say
I was like, I like tits too.
Well, but I want
to
say
like it's what, to
a, is
oh,
it a, it's a, is it a Jewish thing? Because I feel like a lot of Jewish men.
No, granted, my mom has a sweet pair of jogs, Dad. I don't know why I become Earl. I love Earl. Earl Skakel, if anyone knows.
Yeah. He's look him up. Follow him. I call him
my spirit animal.
Really?
Yeah.
You've got a connection to Earl.
Granted, he's always like, Dad, I should be everyone's spirit animal. So.
All right, so your mom's got a great pair of jokes.
Yeah, and so does my sister. Runs in the family. Granted, so do I. I got a sweet pair of hefty Jewish bosoms.
hefty Jewish bosoms. That sounds like
it sounds so nice.
It sounds like it would give me great comfort. Like
if it really would.
A bad thing in my day.
I like hugging my mom, not because of her tits. No, they're not gross.
Hefty Jewish bosoms sounds like a Hanukkah candy that kids get.
Listen,
you know, there's like Hanukkah gelt.
We got Hanukkah gelt. We got a hefty Jewish bosom for you.
Which is just a giant chocolate egg.
Spend the dreidel. If it lands on a certain side, you get a hefty Jewish bosom.
If you get a gimel.
If you get a gimel or a hay, guess what? Hefty three servings of hefty Jewish bosoms.
Hefty Jewish bosoms for everybody.
It's very nice. It's got a great flavor, just like Manischewitz.
There's caramel hefty Jewish bosoms.
Yes, it's soft caramel, but we can't have it on Passover. Wait. It's not Pesach.
They're just chocolate tits.
Chocolate tits
filled
with caramel, milk, chocolate, caramel. Gotta go with the milk theme since it's tits.
Obviously,
I hope
he makes so much sense, Adam.
It does.
That's not a pedantic thing. That's just common sensible.
Common sensible.
I'm an idiot.
By the way, that's the end of the commercial for hefty Jewish bosoms. That's
hefty
not pedantic. Ready? Do the jingle.
Hefty Jewish bosoms. It's just common sensible.
Wow.
There we
Josh,
go.
My awards.
I'm ordering it from Amazon right now.
Can put it on some porn chicks wish list on them.
All right. Speaking of wish list, what's on your anime porn wish list?
Oh man,
what have you not seen?
Oh, I've unfortunately seen some stuff I cannot take back.
Oh God, such as talking.
Okay, the worst common thing. Is they have really loose stuff. Like I'll watch a porn where a chick with humongous tits and then they're getting fucked, or there's one I like where it's a chick with that's a hermaphrodite, a chick with huge tits who's a hermaphrodite, but she doesn't have like a dick and balls. It's just like a dick that grows out of her vagina. It's just the shaft
of
the head.
What is the fucking difference?
So it looks like a volcano? I don't know.
Either way, I'm just explaining it for comedy's sake. Anyways.
Okay, yeah, I love you.
Much love.
So,
and she fucks another chick with big tits. But sometimes
with
during
the dick.
With the dick.
Okay, yeah. so you're getting four tits, two vaginas, one dick. So the number of tits out.
Two vaginas, one dick and the vagina.
I feel like this is a complicated SAT math problem. Two vaginas are going at a separate pace. They are 10 miles apart. One has a giant pair of tits, so that you got to factor in wind resistance.
If there's only one dick, how many erections do you have?
Oh God!
Wait, no,
I didn't study this one.
God damn it!
That's okay. So there's
but
a
that's
lot
not
of gross
the,
stuff.
No, that's not gross. That's fine. But in the same anime porns, you'll see like basically like a Lolita chick, you know. pedophile bait. Yeah. Like, and and I'm like, I have to fast forward. I have to get out of this. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I take responsibility for whatever problems. I don't, oh, God forbid, masturbate to the pedophile shit. No, good Lord. Mm-hmm. But like, I'm not going to delete my history because I have nothing to hide in the first place.
Mm-hmm. So you would be, so if the FBI raided your place.
Yeah, I explain what happened. I can't lie.
Yeah, this is
what
true.
You can't, you like.
As an autistic, this needs a little explanation.
Sure.
I'm sorry. As an autistic people, particularly high functioning, since we can talk, mm-hmm. We tend not to have a filter. We don't know where the line is.
Right.
And for me, growing up, becoming a mature adult, mm-hmm. I found myself truly hating lying. Like, I can barely even white lie. So, mm-hmm. so it's just a combination of the both, and I decided, you know what? I'd rather be unmysterious. I'd rather be an open book for the rest of my life.
How great does that feel?
It's the one exhilarating thing next to comedy, because it makes me feel like... But I'm always, because I'm so very Jewish, I'm always filled with shame. Just pure, unadulterated shame.
But so you don't matter how so honest so you why can be.
Shame? Well, I'm not lying about my shame.
Oh, Jewish guilt trumps honest Asperger's in a game of Magic the Gathering.
You mean my parents, Jesus.
Sounds like the weirdest game of rock, paper, scissors ever.
Rock, paper, hentai. Okay. Gotta watch some freaky shit. I'm not into the tentacle stuff that everyone stereotypes it with. I'm not into that stuff. I like straight fucking.
Yeah,
I like straight fucking.
This has been the About Last Night podcast with Josh Meyerowitz. I like straight fucking. Boy, much love and I like straight fucking should be two catchphrases you put on a t-shirt someday with your face on.
The other one, outside of much love and autistic thunder, and is there's one I talk about my parents. I say I was born with autism, but everything else is their fault. True.
That's so funny.
They're in a good and bad way.
Of course.
I'm my parents' child to a T.
Yeah. Where did much love come from? Because you say
I would always say it, and everyone starts saying it to me, and I'm not like trying to get a catchphrase going or anything. I'd like to think this happened organically. Everyone say, because you say it, and it's adorable. So
sounds very like Jamaican of you, like much love.
Much love. Yeah.
But it's very genuine.
I'm never not genuine.
Yeah. Like, you can't be. What's a white lie you've attempted to tell that you started having some sort of panic attack over because you were like, I need to be honest?
Well, it was sort of like afterward. I told the truth about something, because I always do, but then my friend that was involved with this story was like, dude, you can't tell people that. I'm not cool with it anymore. I'm like, okay. So every time I've told it since, I basically would change details or not mention what person this was or even what gender they were. So
gotcha. So you're still telling the truth, but you're not giving enough information to get anything
right. Right. Or I'd flat out explain, I can't give you every detail because I've been sworn to secrecy.
Gotcha. Which is you, once again,
being
telling
honest.
The truth.
Yeah. It's not like I'm saying...
So it's like, don't talk to me anymore because I can't tell you. I'm not trying to tell you.
I'm not... Sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
I'm not trying to spin it or be roundabout about it. Mm-hmm. Or even, at worst, passive-aggressive. I just... I'm saying exactly what it is.
Because that,
to the best of my ability.
We hear stuff about Asperger's and autism in the news, but if you don't have a relative or a friend or anything that's going through it, it's very because there's an autistic spectrum. There's so many different types. So, like, when you say you have Asperger's, what does that characterize?
Well, actually, this is supposedly true. Asperger's was known as autism spectrum disorder. Mm-hmm. But now, supposedly Asperger's isn't a thing anymore. It's just known as autism.
Okay.
But nobody really knows that. So, and people still use Asperger's in like very official.
Well, it's a very fun word to say.
Oh yeah, Asperger's. Yeah.
Was it
Aspergian nightmare?
Sure.
Wow, that's a
The whole autistic thunder thing comes from a bit I do about what if I was an autistic superhero. And at the end, I'm like, what if I'm a completionist? What if I was an autistic supervillain? I'd be Aspergian Nightmare.
Jesus.
Aspergian Nightmare. He masturbates a lot at night.
sounds like a lot of friends of mine.
So when were you diagnosed? Is that the right? Yeah.
So first 14 years of my life, I'm originally from New Jersey. They had diagnosed me with ADD. Mm-hmm. And that was wrong. They gave me a lot of medication according to that, and that really fucked with me.
I feel like that's a common mistake that I hear about. Yeah.
I mean, especially in the late 80s, early 90s in New Jersey.
Yeah, every kid had ADD, no matter what.
They just, yeah.
It was like this blanket
diagnosis. Like,
just
mass
diagnoses.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, but my kid's not paying attention in school.
Well, it's like they're fucking 6 years old. They've been on the planet for 6 years, and you're throwing so much shit at them life-wise. It's so tough to take in.
I mean, here's the thing.
You know, cheeseburgers and Slurpees and fucking TV and slip and slides.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, you know, you see a dog and a cat hanging out together, and you're like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, you're taking in so much.
Yeah.
And then the Labyrinth comes out, and David Bowie's, you know, Dance Magic Dance, and he's rubbing his fucking balls next to an owl, and you're like, am I supposed to pray or fucking, you know... You know,
all you know is you're impressed.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Here's the thing. I was going to be in special ed no matter what I did. So,
okay.
But that's besides the point.
I love that there was no laugh after that.
Yeah. Like, just, no, no, no.
Just an
that's
honest moment.
Yeah. So, dance like one, too. Anyways.
Well, you're Jewish.
It's just so many stereotypes piled on top.
Have you ever seen a killer dancer and after he finishes, everyone claps and somebody goes, you know he's Jewish, right?
No, my twin brother, I talk about it a little bit on stage. My twin brother's a musician. He's a drummer. He graduated from the Musicians Institute that's off of Sunset. And I say on stage, like everyone else in my family's got rhythm except for me. I have the rare Jewish stereotype. My brother plays drums. My mom is a singer. My sister fucks black dudes. I mean... She gets off that cock. She's shucking and jiving. It's amazing. Go, sister girl. Go. Go, literally, my sister girl. Go.
Fucking love it, dude.
Wait, so, okay. So it's not ADD.
No, it's not ADD. First 14 years of my life, about a month or two, there was a situation that happened where I've talked about this on other places, podcasts and whatnot.
That's fine.
Oh, no, I'm just saying. I hate being redundant, too.
It's so. Okay.
I was in middle school. I was in this middle school for like 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
3-4 years. And I wasn't so much bullied by the other students. Mm-hmm. I was bullied by the teachers.
Like, really?
The teachers.
Shut the fuck up.
It was fucked.
And so were they like did they think that you were acting the way you act like spite or like
no,
on purpose or
here's the thing on one side they were really good teachers but on the other side they were their attitude was in a sense kind of shitty like they weren't outright super dicks but they were there was a feeling in the end of antagonism
now is it but this we also have to consider that this is at a time where we still didn't know a lot about autism.
Yeah.
And we still don't know.
Hell, they obviously, by everything, they don't know a lot about ADD either.
Yeah, exactly. So who knows why they thought that you were saying the things you were saying?
The most major problem that happened, when they would put me in mainstream classes. They would think, oh, he seems pretty good at history. Let's put him in mainstream history. Let's put him in mainstream literature. Let's put him in mainstream math. They put me in this history class with the biggest cunt of a teacher I've ever had in my entire school life.
Okay.
She was...
What was so bad about her?
She's a cunt.
Other than being a cunt, Brad?
Jesus Christ. I think like that defines itself. The most major thing she did that I will remember to end time and hold it against her.
Well, depending on... Well, in all fairness, to defend Brad there, in all fairness, we were all raised in different parts of the country.
I know.
So cunt has different definitions.
Yeah. In Europe, it's just a regular part of the language.
Yeah. Exactly. It's an hors d'oeuvre.
Yeah.
All right, so...
But, I don't mean to be mass...
No, you're fine.
Blanketing things too.
No, so she was extra mean.
Basically, like I struggled in that class. I was not good at mainstream history. My attention would float all over the place.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And one day, she takes me and another special ed student, and she's like, "Stay after class." And she brings us by her desk. She puts me facing her in front of her desk, and she puts the other student like shoulder to shoulder with her, and she starts yelling at me, saying, "Why can't you be like this student? He can do a good job. Look at him. Why can't you be like him?" Mm-hmm. And I was crying, and she's like, "Stop crying!"
And that's so sad because she's not realizing that
there's a larger problem.
Yes, it's like when you say, "Why can't I be like him?" It's like, well,
that's like asking me, why can't you dunk the ball like Shaq? Well, there's a difference.
There's a major size, sizable difference.
Yes,
literally.
So to say to you, why can't you perform like this kid?
Mainstream students, just because that special ed student was good doesn't mean.
Yes.
Every special ed student will be good at that.
Right. And that's what we're figuring out. Yeah, and that's what we're figuring out with the research that's being done in autism is that there's just this wide spectrum. There's high functioning. There's nonverbal. There's like
classical autism.
Yeah.
That's what they call the nonverbal stuff.
Yeah.
Mostly.
There's people that need, you know, special care and that have
helmets.
To live.
No helmets. Joke. I'm not even making a joke with that.
No, you're not.
I've seen it.
Yeah. And I think it's great now that we're living in an age where we can actually identify that and we know what it is, because when we were growing up, you were just the crazy kid. like you were just the weird kid.
I was the one with the problems. Yeah. Granted, that on some level is true. But
sure.
Well, it
I was in special ed for no reason.
Right. But it is. But I think we can all look back to...
Right.
Children that we grew up with and kids in our classes where we look back now and go, oh, they probably were just autistic or they were more on the spectrum.
Well, I get along and stand up with everyone, it seems, because someone sort of said to me, everyone's basically autistic or worse. They just haven't been diagnosed like me.
Wow. That's about right.
That's about where the solidarity and us just all being fucking crazy,
right?
But on a safe level, obviously.
Sure.
For most of us.
For most of us, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what drew you to comedy?
I had no idea I'd finally find a social life. But just going back. Sorry.
Let's go back. Yeah.
I apologize.
No, we're moving around a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. So with the school thing, what happened was like two, three days before I graduated, we were planning to move to California, where I've lived since 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I held in my anger for three years. Let's say 3 years. Held in anger, held it in for 3 years.
From this incident?
Not just, that incident was like in the third year. I'm talking about, I dealt
life.
With this for this, well, sure, that too, but
yeah.
But it wasn't as bad as this particular middle school. And all 3 years, I just was holding in this anger. I didn't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
And like after, like during class, all of a sudden, the funny part is, it was like as sort of like it wasn't the direct cause. We were doing an in class spelling bee, and I like lost. I was in second or third place. That wasn't the problem, but for some reason, it spurred me, and I sat down at my desk and I yelled out loud, "If I had a gun, I'd shoot you all."
Wow.
This is 2 years prior to Columbine.
Wow.
Now here's the thing. I obviously am not a violent person, nor did I mean any violence in that situation.
Right.
They took me outside, and I'm in no way do I not take responsibility.
Sure.
But at the same time, I was just so upset.
Yeah.
My anger just came out in words, and I was telling them exactly. And then, like, the whole day, they're talking to me. It's like, why would you say that? I start telling them. I don't just start. I've been – ever since I first got upset in that moment, I've been telling them everything I've been dealing with these past 3 years.
Yeah.
And they don't expel me to let me graduate early. It's only 2 days before the school year even ends.
Oh, my God.
But they want to have a court hearing. The school wants to get a court hearing going. Here's the thing. My parents – being the good salespeople and Jews they are, they get me a very good lawyer, not an expensive lawyer. They're all expensive, granted, on some level.
Mm-hmm.
They get me a lawyer, and all I have to do is tell them exactly what I said to those teachers and principal after that situation. And I didn't have to see a day in court because he just told exactly what I said. And they're like, all right, case dismissed here. They said we could have countersued, but, you know, we were moving. We were getting away from him.
Yeah, you're leaving. Why?
So, but like a good month or two before we left, after my parents, after that situation, are like, all right, something's up. I think something's wrong with Josh that we need to get better help. We live very adjacent to New York.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, let's get a doctor in New York. They got a recommendation. And the doctor, after seeing me, is like, he's autistic. He ain't no ADD kid.
Wow.
Yeah. So I got very lucky. This doctor, the doctor I see out here,
Dr.
I moved.
Phil?
Good Lord, no.
What you need to do is just get back on the spectrum. You see, you're outside the spectrum. You have the Asperger's, which reminds me, Cheryl, can you get me a burger? It could be a barbecue bacon burger. Oh, God, I love those.
Carl's Jr. And for dessert, I'd like a big helping of chocolate Jewish bosoms. Yes, caramel filled.
I love the caramel.
So you had a great doctor.
I got an even better doctor who I've seen since I moved here. Mm-hmm. But this doctor at UCLA Medical, who further completed the diagnosis.
Yeah, because I gotta assume that's not a one and done.
Oh no, they have to confirm it for the state because I'm on medication and the like. Right. This doctor I see that I've been seeing, this is a guy you can't just go off the street and see. Mm-hmm. You have to be recommended to him. So, and this guy basically helped change my life for the better. It took a long time to find a good drug cocktail, but like about a year or two before I got into stand-up, we finally figured out a cocktail that got me the least anxious. And then once I got into stand-up, coming all the way back to what we're stand-up, it became something that worked truly in tandem. Because I got into stand-up, and it was the first time I ever tried a social group. Or was in a social group. I tried like Jewish youth groups or all kinds of youth groups, just trying to find a place where I exist. I used to go to a UCLA Japanese animation club that was open to the public. I never went to college. I couldn't do it.
Too much anxiety. Or, yeah?
I had a problem with it even high school. I graduated.
Who were your groups in high school that you tried to kick it with?
Just other kids. And I ended up having to go to a continuation school because I had such a hard time studying.
That's my disability.
Yeah, that's Brett. Studying. Yeah.
Hey, I stammer too. So.
Between Brad stuttering and your Asperger's, I'm in the fucking most delicious disability sandwich of all time.
Dad, you got the disability of being too handsome. Dude, you have the disability of getting too much puss.
Here's the thing that is so crazy to me is that you, like, your family, thank God, found good doctors for
my
you.
My parents have stuck their necks out. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk over.
No, you're fine.
I'm very lucky in so many ways, including my immediate family. They have sucked their nuts out. That too.
Your mom's got big nuts too?
My dad too.
Jewish chocolate bosoms. And now introducing Jewish chocolate nuts.
I think they just called those.
With nuts inside.
I think they just call those macaroons.
Nice.
Extra coconut.
You know what? For being a goy, Brad has a lot of great Jewish jokes.
I hang out with you a lot.
Williams is Jewish.
Wait, is it?
No, I'm joking.
Oh, Jesus. I like how you got scared. Heart disease runs in your family. What?
Welcome to my nightmare.
What? I might be a Jew.
Brad's an honorary. He knows enough.
It's Hollywood doing that.
Yeah. Well done.
We can smell our own. Anyways.
But like what I said was I'm so glad that they found you the proper care, because I imagine this happens very often where kids don't have the proper diagnosis.
Because the parents don't go out of their way to.
Yeah. Parents probably are neglectful in other ways too.
Right. And then they don't have the proper diagnosis, which means they can't get the proper treatment, can't get in the proper programs. I mean, most of the time when we find out about these mass shootings that happen, they're people that have a lot of mental illness, but that didn't get the proper care.
No.
That whose parents were just like, no, my kid's fine. It's like.
Yeah. It's like the same kind of parent that would hear their kid's gay and be like, no, you're not.
No, you're not. Let's send you to a camp where they'll pray the gay way. It's like, oh, we'll send you, we'll just pray or whatever for your mental health. And that'll just fix everything.
Or God forbid they're like holistic type parents.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Now, are you guys saying that?
Get it, crystals.
Now, are you guys saying that I should take a stronger look at the fact that my nieces take off the heads of their Barbies, put them in a fish tank to see if they still move?
Nah, she's just punk rock, man.
Okay, cool. That's what I thought.
Your nieces are punk rock.
She told me.
Wait till you see the Mohawks. Cutest little Mohawks. They're ready to start some anarchy.
Okay, so you found comedy, and this was the first social group.
This is the first social group where I ever truly felt. It was always when I tried these old social group, I welcomed them. And even if the other people were welcoming, I just never truly felt it. But with
what, you felt like it was fake?
It felt one-sided.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. like I was putting in most of love and everyone really didn't give a shit about me.
So you were like much love and they were like some love.
They're probably quarter they're love. Too busy being teenagers. Mm-hmm. And I was the only teenager that I was the only sad teenager that didn't become a goth or something. I don't know.
Yeah, no shit.
Well, good, talk to good Brad. Good Lord.
Yeah. Talk to Brad. He had the Hot Topic on lockdown.
Hey, so did I. That's where I get most of my best shirts, dude.
Hey, so, okay.
Still a shitty store, but there's some
How
there.
How dare you? I used to work there, that's why.
Oh.
It's fine.
Yeah, you look like you have a lot of earrings.
A lot of what?
You look like you have a lot of earrings.
The day Brad shows up to this apartment with pierced ears is the day that I shoot confetti out of my dick hole. God, I got to do it just for that.
Yeah, just because you cut your wrist doesn't make your parents hate you any less. That's from a Something Awful picture, but I love that line a lot.
Awful what?
There's this really funny website called somethingawful.com, shoutouts. They have a thing called Photoshop Friday where it's just like a theme. And one of it was like a movie poster, and it was for that Halle Berry movie, Gothica.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
yeah.
They made it into like making fun of it where they changed it just to Gothic. Mm-hmm. Put like slit, like sad tears in the slit, and it with and changed the tagline too, just cause you're just what is it?
Whatever,
I just
yeah,
said
you
it.
Said it. Yeah,
I just forgot.
Rewind the podcast. Just because you're Gothic, it doesn't make your parents love you less.
Yeah,
or something like that.
Hate you any less. Yeah,
but like the thing is with you finding stand up and why you finally feel accepted by a group. Yeah. I've never
felt that before outside my immediate family.
Ever. Yeah, no
but
shit.
I feel because people are, and I guess you could say warped like me.
Well, we are the island of misfit toys.
And I'm just happy to be another misfit toy. Yeah. Like, I've never had something I was good at. I never had some place to belong outside my immediate family. And I found both. I never had a social life. Now I do. I never had this many friends in my entire life.
Yeah, because you're a staple at the Comedy Store. People show up. We see you. We always know you're going to have an encouraging word. We always know you're going to say something.
I come with
funny.
Love and fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's so you always put a smile on everyone's face, whether you're on stage or off. And I'm so happy that you found this.
Happy you guys accepted me.
Oh yeah.
How can we not? You're fucking hilarious.
Was there one day when you okay, so you moved here from
New Jersey.
How does comedy, though, even become when you run out of options socially? How does comedy?
It
become?
It wasn't even socially. I couldn't do normal jobs. I was my own personal liability because even if I was, let's say, good at stacking boxes at a supermarket, mm-hmm. most people, when it gets to them, they can swallow it and move on with their life, either quit the job and get another one, or still do the same job. But me, I'm so anxious and open, even before I was truly an open book. Like I would, if I get angry, I get angry, and it would just sort of in a similar sense to when I did that thing in middle school. Most people can swallow it. I would be like, I fucking hate this. I can't do this job anymore. The monotony.
Wow, you're like the autistic Hulk.
Hulk hates monotony.
Make that movie, Marvel.
Hulk hates minimum wage.
And too many people in shopping malls.
Hulk hates slow customer. Hulk hates stacking boxes. Take your own Chips Ahoy.
That's the catchphrase of Autistic Hulk.
I love it.
Hulk like pro wrestling. I do like whole wrestling. Josh does like whole wrestling. Stupid. Okay.
Wait,
I do like pro wrestling.
So does Brad. We need to talk about that in a second.
Oh, by the way, that was the first time I ever talked to Brad, by the way.
Ooh.
Brad was doing Jeremiah Watkins' Stand Up on the Spot, and we were talking about stepping on Lego.
Yes.
And by the way, this is another...
Lego was... Okay, for Stand Up on the Spot, it's a show where the comedian goes on stage. You don't do material. You just go on stage, and the audience yells something out, and you immediately have to do a joke about it. And they just... This person yelled out, Lego. So I was like, all right, I'm going to talk about stepping on Legos. And how when you step on it, you immediately jump up in the air like you're about to do a Hulk Hogan leg drop.
Oh, yeah.
you pop straight up.
The pain.
Yeah,
after
exactly.
After the set, we're in the belly room and walk up the little steps after that's like near the green room of the belly room, and I'm like, Brad, by the way, I'm a big pro wrestling fan, and here's the thing. They have, in pro wrestling, Lego death matches. It's exactly how it sounds. It's not your average
hardcore match. That's what I'm talking about. Bombards you with conversation yes. in his pocket ready to go.
Because you're really like, wait, Lego.
Asperger's. It's like a Bond theme song.
In the night, will you Asperger's staring at the train sets.
Is that Sinatra or Buble's version?
I don't know. I'm not a good singer.
But yeah, they have these. So he comes up to me and says Lego death matches, and I'm like, I'm in. I'm listening.
Wow.
So Lego. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me cut you off.
No. You go right ahead.
By the way, thank you guys for being patient with me.
Hey, of course. Thank you for coming on this podcast, too.
And my pleasure.
Because we've scheduled and canceled a bunch, but you've been very patient.
Yeah, dude, I was saying off the air, like, I'm a low-level comedian. The fact you fuckers want me on this is a blessing.
Well, you also, too, it's, you know, subconsciously and consciously, you know, we've had people on that we don't know that we know very minimally, right?
Right.
And it's like, and with Brad and I think both, you know, I think I've only really been around you at the Comedy Store, right? For the past probably 2 or 3 years,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we've had a handful of conversations, some a couple minutes, some 10 minutes,
yeah.
You know. And so a part of me was wanting to add to the number of those before we, you know, and that's why I asked you to even send me
a bio.
You know, bio at some point.
Yeah, my
you know,
friend helped me.
And it was great. And just to give a little, even though part of me was also like, you know, we're going to learn it's fun to really learn everything and hear stuff for the first time from you live on the podcast.
Yeah.
But I want to just get a little more being around before it was completely
absolutely.
Unfamiliar.
You want to research it properly. That's responsible of you.
Yeah.
I honestly... I forgot what I was going to say.
Fuck it.
Lego death matches.
Yes.
Okay, so
I love that phrase.
Asperger's. Oh, I remember Asperger's. I do it during Autistic Thunder thing. Just I do a bunch of punches and kicks in the air, and I turn around like Charlie's Angels silhouette. Asperger's.
Autistic Thunder. He watch a lot of anime.
You need to open an Asperger's restaurant at some point.
It's called Asperger's, shaped like an ass, the good kind. Get you some ass burgers.
What would those uniforms be?
Oh my god, it'd just be.
So
by the way,
so
it'd probably be the background that I have on my my Twitter background. It's just of a chick's ass, but someone put like a patty in between, so they Photoshop like an lettuce, tomato,
Asperger's.
Oh, taking advantage. Yo. By the way, just quickly, I'm always scared doing stand-up. It's something I contend with a lot. Like, I'm scared people think I'm hacked, like, oh, he's trying to use Asperger's as sort of his gimmick, or he's trying to make it a thing so he can get higher level without actually earning it. Oh, no, it's just a fear I have because I'm not, but I'd be lying if I didn't talk about it.
Exactly. Yeah. Because if you walked on stage, the same way I can't walk on stage and not talk about dwarfism.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Oh, yeah.
Have you tried ever?
I did. Yeah. And the entire time, the audience is just staring at me
you
like...
Could feel
same thing
it.
Happens to
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
We need to talk about it.
Sure.
I'm not a gimmick. I know I'm not.
Right.
I should only be judged if I'm funny or not. That's the whole point.
Amen, sir. So, because if you just went on stage and started talking about, like, flying sucks, but you're talking it, like, in the way that you do,
yeah.
The audience would be like, okay, something's off. Something's up with him, but
and they're not listening. All they're doing is waiting to hear you. Yeah. All they're doing is thinking, why isn't he addressing what we obviously can see is different.
Visible or not.
Yeah, so you have to talk about it.
Absolutely. But, and here's the thing also. I couldn't avoid it for my life. This is a huge facet of my life.
Absolutely.
It's inescapable. I have to talk about it even if people already know. Even if it's almost redundant.
Sure.
If it's redundant, I'm not going to fucking walk that line.
You hate redundancy. That's another one of Autistic Hulk's fears.
It depends to me. Hulk hates when something already happened that happened 5 minutes earlier.
That's a long sentence for Hulk.
Yeah.
Hulk getting smarter by the day.
Hulk have good medication cocktail.
Puny Meyerowitz not have good medication cocktail. Autistic Hulk have best cocktail. That's why he Hulk. Hulk is Hulk.
Hulk is Hulk.
Hulk like hentai.
Wow.
Hulk like real boobs too.
Hulk like real boobs. These are all, by the way, the catchphrases when you pull the string on his toy.
Yes, yes, yes. By the way, I want to talk
or
about
your toy.
Oh yeah, dust. You want to know where to pull it though. Sorry,
right, that's not a, that's not a string.
That's a patty in between well, a couple I mean, of butt cheeks.
But whenever I talk about like, oh, big tits aren't a fetish, I'm like, well, yeah, they are. You should see the stuff I beat off to. Jesus.
Jesus?
Jesus. Oh. If he had a nice rack, I'd go for that too. Shit. Why not, guys? Jesus got it going on. I'm an idiot.
No, you're not. That was one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life.
Yo, what? When was the first time you did stand up?
I started
in the comedy
6 years
store.
Ago. Okay. 6 years ago, it wasn't the comedy store. I started the Ha Ha Cafe in North Hollywood.
Yep.
And even I couldn't even tell. To this very day, it's sort of the same. I couldn't tell if I did a good or bad job. The big thing that changed my life with stand-up is when I – Asperger's, for it, just in case I didn't say it before, a major facet of it is anxiety, like really hard anxiety. It's not just autism traits. It's anxiety.
Okay.
Being on stage – is the only place so far in my entire life I do not get anxious.
Wow.
It's insane. I mean, it has its problems. Once I get off stage, it doubles over me like a fucking, like it's like all the anxiety I don't have on stage colliding with the anxiety I normally have off stage. Yeah. And it just, but the fact I have this one place in the sun is surreal.
And that's the place where everyone else they
is anxious and nervous.
They anxious and scared and
maybe that's why I saw.
you don't, first of all.
Oh, much.
But like the average person is just terrified of that, and it's so amazing to me that a person with Asperger's, who by nature is supposed to be anxious, you put them in the most anxiety-ridden place on the planet, and that's on stage in front of strangers, and that's where you're good.
Yeah,
that's where you're like, no, this is fine. I'm more comfortable here.
Yeah.
God, I love that.
I love it too. My ultimate goal, because I spent so many years not doing normal jobs, and to this very day, I can't. I'm lucky that I'm allowed to be on disability. I'm lucky.
That helps, yeah. So that's your income?
Yeah, yeah. I can't drive because of my anxieties about that. It's like a loaded gun to me. It's dangerous. I don't want to be a liability to anything. So I can't drive. And I get to use because of that, I'm allowed to take what I call a special needs taxi. That's how I get out here. I don't have to take the buses and subways because that can make me anyone anxious, granted. But
yeah, no kidding.
But like I'm OCD and paranoid enough, and that's may or may not be because of autism. That's just me.
Sure. What? How does the OCD? Autistic taxi work?
Well, first of all, it's called Access Paratransit, or also the retarded limo. Because it's got a ramp and everything. It's a big white van. Big white van that they take you away in.
The retarded limo.
They have to, even if you're not.
Thank God you're saying these.
No, I'm allowed. I can. I do. I have the experience.
I love it.
Even if you don't have a physical disability and you're fully able physically like me, if they pick you up in the white van, they make you go on the ramp because it's a liability thing for them.
Wow. Okay.
So even if you're not in a wheelchair or have a crutch or anything,
the ramp opens and you walk up.
They have to put it's not an automatic ramp. The driver has to get out of outside and put the
and manually
ramp up,
open it.
Even if I'm fully able and it's like half a step to the
how
curb.
Awkward is that moment? Do you stand there and go, sorry, man?
I don't really think too much of it. No. I'm grateful they're nice and willing.
Yep.
The best is, if anything, I like it more ever since another comedian's like, dude, it's like you're coming out of a limo like a pimp. Like we should film you like on Instagram coming out with a hot lady and pigeons flying out.
Well,
he's doves.
Well, whoever said that is exactly right.
Yes. And every one of those limos should have like fog machines that go right on the side of the ramp, so it's just like you're coming down like E.T.'s coming home. It's like a damn
E.T.'s coming home already.
And it's just and when you walk out and the pigeons and the girl, and then you just go Asperger's. Dude, it's like Shaft. You're like the Shaft of Asperger's.
Burgers.
Who's that man who gets tense and paranoid?
Josh.
Burgers. Who is the man who enjoys himself pro wrestling on an extreme scale?
Josh. Who's that man that loves anime and straight fucking?
Oh, yeah.
Josh.
As burgers.
Wow.
Okay.
You don't want to see that cartoon?
I want to see. I want to live it.
Now, here's the thing.
I'd be the where. I'd if shoot you were, the gun, in the
if you were a cartoon and it got hot, would you jerk off to it?
Nah, man, that's some narcissistic stuff right there, man. Does Mike Tyson jerk off to his new cartoon on Adult Swim? No, he doesn't.
That's $1 million question.
I mean,
granted, he has a tiger. He doesn't have to.
Does he really?
Yeah. I'm assuming off the Hangover movies.
Do you fantasize? What do you want out of stand-up? Do you want fame and fortune? Do you want?
Well, that's the thing I was gonna say is because I spent all these years doing absolutely nothing with my life, just sitting in my room wasting away.
Yeah, having just social acceptance can't be enough for you at this point.
It surely is appreciated.
Yes, it's a big part.
My goal since the very beginning, since I started and knew I wanted to continue doing this because I was happy doing it, even if I sucked or still suck.
You don't stop saying that.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm scared of being arrogant or narcissistic.
Of course, and totally justifiable understandable.
Sorry. Let me talk over you. Like I said before, the line. I know where it is, but I don't know where it is.
Also, it's fair to. How many years have you been doing stand-up?
6 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I met 8 brides at 12.
12. Yeah.
There's. We're all still figuring out the balance between.
The right kind of happiness.
Obtaining confidence. Yeah, but obtaining
confidence.
And not being
a brag.
And being confident without being arrogant. And that's a fine line to walk of owning the stage. Man, I started headlining, it's probably now 3 years ago, right?
That
first year, I definitely did not own being a headliner. Because I was still so...
I can't even imagine myself.
And not that you have to shift into an energy or a place of like getting... Or of being cocky or again like... or a dick, but like... There were just certain things that I became more aware of as far as, oh, this is my show. And like, where if somebody was running the light before me, the feature they give me, and he was doing bad, then I would say something or say something to the club and cut his time or say, you know, but be active about it. Whereas the first year, I just go, I'm happy to be here. I'm just happy to be getting these gigs and I'm going to fucking do my job regardless.
We all go through that.
Yeah, it's a constant discovery of that. So for you to and also...
I verbalize everything, basically.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, you've got verbal diarrhea.
Oh, I can't help it.
As long as it's always verbal.
Very juicy. All right.
Now, as someone with ADD, how, like, because it takes a lot of discipline for a lot of comics to sit down and write jokes.
Yeah.
I
can't write jokes at all.
What's your process?
Yeah. I mean, it's partially me being lazy as well. I have only myself to blame on this. But... And this is going to sound super weird, I don't know what's funny. I have an inkling, and sometimes, most of my writing is, I say something on stage, and I hear laughter, and I'm like, oh, run with it. I'm writing on stage. That's the best I can do. Off stage, just sitting alone, whether I'm on my phone or a notebook. I usually don't use a notebook because phones are so easy.
Yeah.
I know the whole deal, what people prefer, but that's my preference.
Well, I use the phone because in case something happens. So I lost a couple notebooks, so I email myself everything because I'm like, oh, if I lose my phone, I will have it somewhere.
Yeah. So I struggle to sort of pick my brain in that way. Like, I have to just... fall onto it. Sometimes, like, most of the bits that I write by myself these days is when I'm making fun of my parents, like, because I just do their voices and I find myself saying something that, like, oh yeah, my dad does that. That would be good for stage. Like, but that's like the extent of me writing alone. Luckily, there are other comedians, both professional and not, that have been willing to help me write and everything. I'm very grateful for that. I'm grateful not to toot my own horn for everything, but I'm especially grateful people are willing to take their time out to help me out. Shout outs, Jeff Richards, Keith Carey, many others.
Oh yeah,
it's so great that they help you.
So you writing alone is terrifying to you.
Yeah.
Or now being alone or writing alone.
Both.
Yeah.
Both. My parents and my twin brother, they were trying to figure out how to help me move out to West Hollywood and not in Calabasas, so I can I don't drive, so I can just walk around everywhere.
Yeah.
And be in the middle of the scene. And
you live in Calabasas, right?
Yeah. Currently with my family.
Yeah, so it's got to take the autistic limo.
Right. Yeah, retarded limo.
But they take you back and forth?
Yeah, but it depends on the time. You have to schedule the day before, and you have to figure out a time. And
because there's a lot of
other people, sometimes it's not even a shared ride. The worst thing is I'm part of Roast Battle every Tuesday night at the Comedy Store.
Yep. Let's plug
that.
And
that goes pretty late. Yeah, 10:30 every night in the Belly Room at the Comedy Store, one of the most popular shows in L.A., yeah, no joke.
You're 1,000% right. Give people a quick overview of what the Roast
Battle is. Roast Battle is like a rap battle, except it's like those celebrity roasts on Comedy Central. It's two comedians taking turns burning each other.
Yeah.
And then they sometimes, depending on the part of the card, if they're the undercard, the audience get to judge, but on the main bouts, popular famous comedians, including Adam Ray, get to judge you. And
Brad Williams
Buster
as well.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He was there for my birthday show. For the
And you had him talk.
But I was so fucked up that all my assessments were so.
Oh no, Brent. We've had a spur. I shouldn't say names.
What?
A spur of. Like comedians in judging roles.
We're too fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, well, I was drunk with Brent the other night, and I remember he said he was going up to judge the battle, and in my head I was like, "Oh, this is."
Oh yeah, no, he was out of control.
Oh.
He wasn't like physically. He would keep interrupting things. He would take too long.
Oh,
it was
no.
only like towards the latter part.
Did
he finally.
Moses and
no, Moses relishes these things sort of.
Well, he's like, Brent's so likable. You can't. Nobody wants to.
But, yeah.
But he still can. Brent can take. He's an East Coast guy. He can take the.
It's not something we plan on. Or at least Moses. I'm a very small part of that show. I'm a lucky. I get to say I'm even part of the show. But yeah, like we've had like consistently coincidentally, comedians coming in that are either fucked up in some way or fucked up. Like Brody Stevens being Brody Stevens.
Right.
Like him, he's constantly interrupting even comedians' sets.
I think as a judge, and maybe, and I've only done it twice, and I've observed people like Tony Hinchcliffe who just are destroyers.
Oh,
but
yeah.
that's his world.
Exactly.
And he just has a, that's his world. And so he speaks, he just is one of the quickest people, I think, in stand-up.
Very.
And also quick at constructing a joke and a comeback, and he's rarely his batting percentage is very high, so it's welcomed when he interrupts, but also he's not getting fucked up.
Oh yeah. He's coming prepared for the role.
So it's up and comers who are roasting each other.
Yes, and usually. And some pro comics too.
Yep. And there's a lot of crazy elements. The all Negro Wave.
All Negro Wave, the Haters Corner used to be the racist corner.
Yeah.
To the point that it would be the aforementioned Earl Skakel and some other comedians and aforementioned Keith Carey.
Yeah.
And
what would they do?
They would say some friggin' racist stuff.
Because you have the all-Negro wave, and then they had two white people who would say racist shit.
Or right. Sometimes even they'd get, like, Omid Singh as a hater.
Yeah. I love Omid.
I mean, it's very multicultural on both sides. All-Negro wave always has Jeremiah Watkins.
Who's white.
And Frank Castillo, who's Mexican.
Yeah.
And then the other side has their fair share of minorities most of the time as well. So.
And celebrity judges like... I mean,
Whitney Cummings, Liza Schlesinger.
Dave Chappelle.
Chappelle wants... He never judges. He always...
Observes
and says stuff because he can and he's hilarious.
Jim Carrey, right. Jason Reitman.
Jason Reitman has judged. Carrey was not a judge. He came to do sort of like what Chappelle did. Like just talk.
Did you get to meet him?
Briefly, yeah.
Amazing, right?
It's surreal.
I gotta assume he's one of your comedy heroes.
Yeah, I grew up on him, certainly. Okay. I don't dislike him. I like him a lot. But he wasn't my comedy heroes. My comedy heroes were like...
Asperger's comedy heroes or no?
No, there are other autistic comedians, but they're all of the same contemporaries.
Like
they're more contemporaries. Keith Reza, he's good. He's very good.
Yeah, I know Keith.
He opens for Norm.
Yeah.
And McDonald.
Is that autism? Really?
There's some other guys, too, whose names I'm forgetting. But yeah, there's a handful of us.
And I'm sure you guys kind of the same way. I know every... dwarf comedian, whether people other people know them or not,
right?
Do you guys kind of bond together? Like,
yes and no. Here's the thing,
and I know all the comedians with great hair.
This seems seriously, dude. Quit the bragging.
It's like you and Jesselnik. Hey, you just like wow. get together and just hang out and go.
Nick Youssef.
Nick Youssef.
By the way, I hope I didn't sound like I was talking shit about Brody Stevens or Brett Horn.
No.
Merely stating what happened.
Mad love.
Not at all, dude.
Mad love.
Yeah,
indeed. Much love.
Much love. Mad love.
But we were, here's the thing I noticed as an autistic person with other high functioning autistic people.
Yeah.
We basically don't like each other. We like each other, but we kind of don't. Like,
why?
I talked to Keith Reza once about, hey, can I do a road gig with you or something? And he's like, listen, Josh, I like you as a comedian. I like you as a friend, But the reason I don't want you to come along is because you also have Asperger's. And, right. and it makes absolute sense.
Yes, it does.
Because we already have a hard time reading other people. Mm-hmm. And we kind of, our nerves get grated on when someone normal has, like, let's say, a very, what's it called when someone doesn't have sound in their voice?
Monotone?
Yes, thank you. It's the same thing as us.
Well, you guys should get on $25,000 pyramid ASAP. Because that was fucking brilliant.
I feel like I'm cheating if I bring a guy with Asperger's. It's that
solidarity between the disabled.
It's that thing that adds light to a house. Lamp!
Bing. Like, if we put our fingers next to each other, electricity is just going to...
Wow, but what kind of electricity?
Autistic electricity. you're becoming me.
So autistic
greatest
electricity.
I'm an idiot.
No, you're not.
No. I'm busting my own chops.
Autistic electricity sounds amazing.
Autistic electricity. We play Guns N' Roses songs.
Well, yes, they do. They are a fucking Guns N' Roses cover band.
But of all autistic people, welcome to the jungle. We can't read you. So here, I say this on stage, and this is how I truly feel about it. So autistic people, we deal with each other. It's sort of hard for us to read each other because we can't read other people.
Right.
Monotone excluded. Granted, some of us do have monotone voices because of the way we are. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's like a bone grinding on another bone without cartilage in the middle.
Mm, okay. Wow, getting all medical on us.
Well, I got inspired by someone talking about Rey Mysterio's knees, the wrestler.
Okay.
He hasn't.
I know what you're talking about.
By the way, I there's like two things I want to go right back
okay.
to.
Yes.
First, Lego death matches.
Yeah. Okay.
Lego death matches. I never explained it.
Sure.
It's like a hardcore match, but with ladders and all that. But instead of that shit, they will slam each other on Legos.
Yes, they will.
It's real. It's awesome. It's gnarly. But it's just, oh, dude, they're just power slamming each other.
Can I tell you guys something right now?
Just look it up on YouTube.
And I'm committing to this right now because I'm saying it.
Right.
And everyone on the podcast will now have to expect this discussion to follow.
Sure.
The next wrestling event that happens at Staples Center.
Right.
I'm taking all three of us.
Yeah. I got to take you to the indie wrestling show. That'll be even better than that. WWE's all right, but I should take you to Pro Wrestling Guerrilla.
Okay. Well, whatever you guys think the best thing is, I'm taking all of us to it.
Yeah.
And we're going, and maybe we'll podcast after that.
There's a bunch of us comedians now that go to PWG.
There's a lot of comedians who love wrestling, but I feel like I've never been with Brad, and I feel like it's almost like him.
It's like a secret world.
It's almost like when you came to Seattle.
It's my autistic hyper focus.
Well,
no, and that's not a joke. That is my part of my autistic.
It's like when Brad came to Seattle to do shows, and then I took him around like where I grew up and stuff. Like that was, You saw stuff that I love.
I saw a little...
A piece into my
piece
world.
Piece of what makes Adam Ray, Adam Ray.
Yeah. Now, wrestling is a big part of Brad Williams.
Oh, yeah. High five.
And I want to see you in your element there.
I'm surprised you haven't been to PWG before.
I haven't.
It is quite possibly, I'm not exaggerating, it is possibly the number one indie wrestling company in the nation.
I'm excited.
If it's a number two, then Ring of Honor's number one. But number one, as far as I can tell, I'm not just saying it because I live in Southern California, where it only happens, is Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. It
awesome.
Is amazing. And it's a bunch of comedians for the last couple of years now have been going together. Me, Matt Edgar, who's a good comic, Paul Lair, you guys don't know him, but he's a good guy too, and comic. And Ron Funches.
Yeah.
Hell, the way me and Funches became friendly because I was hanging out at the Comedy Store and he was wearing a shirt of Kevin Steen, who's now in WWE, Kevin Owens. Kevin Steen, I started going to these PWG shows, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, in late 2006. And he was the first indie wrestler I ever became a fan of. Just seeing him live, this guy already had the talent he has now. That's how impressive he's always been.
Kevin Owens is solid, man.
He's more than solid.
Yeah.
I will fight you on that. I will put you in a Lego deathlock.
He will fight me real, not like, not like pro wrestling.
I'll bring new meaning to dwarf tossing.
Now he's talking shit.
I eat your ass.
Wait, what?
I'm sorry.
I was not a part of this.
No, he's reliving an anime porn he saw.
Can I tell you, a
Chinese woman tossed a dwarf.
Not Chinese. I'm OCD. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, but you're right. Japanese.
Not a lot of, by the way, not a lot of solid tossing in Japanese animated porn. It's strictly.
I love how you. Well, you just fucking said that. Like, we just came back from commercial break, like on some morning talk show, and like Kathy Lee Gifford look at Regis and go, not a lot of South Austin anime porn. Anyway, it's 42 degrees outside of New York City and a beautiful Memorial Day weekend.
Tom Cruise is
here. It's also because I love tits. Mainly what happens in the anime porn I watch is tit fucking.
Yeah,
and just regular fucking,
straight fucking.
Dead.
Josh Meyerowitz, much love. I like straight fucking.
Straight fucking.
That's the name of your album.
My plan is if I ever get good enough to have my own album.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask because we skipped away from that, and before we wrap
and
this
my
up,
goal, I, my goal instead.
I want to know what you love most about being at the Comedy Store and being in comedy, and then where do you want to be in like 10 years from now?
Just, it's simple, hanging around the store and the community and at large. I feel accepted. I feel I'm around people who are just like me and vice versa. That's all it amounts to. And people who are part of the creative process who are going through the same thing, the solidarity being so immense. Like to the fact that I can even find solidarity with even the professional comedians, like Funches or Jeff Richards, mm-hmm. Skakel.
People that you put up on a pedestal probably.
Oh, yeah.
And now you're friends with them, and that's...
Dude, Steve Byrne, that threw me. He was one of the I remember 1999, 2000 when they started doing Comedy Central Presents. Mm-hmm. Him, Pablo Francisco, and a bunch of others, like the guys, I'm like, oh, shit, these guys are awesome. And then, like, becoming friendly with Byrne is so surreal. And Pablo Francisco is on a similar way with Jim Carrey coming to the roast battle. It was the first time either of those guys had been in the store in like 8 or 10 years.
Yeah.
So I did like the last, Red Band let me do Death Squad's secret show, the last one they did.
How'd that go?
Oh, so awesome. I probably had a shit set, but I had so much fun nonetheless. And I was happy to do it. And the crowd, I didn't bomb. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say I did good or bad or anything. Anyways, that's me making sure I'm not arrogant. Anyways,
so it's cool for you. So being
Pablo Francisco was there, and I was like, I love your work. Thank you. I can't wait to watch your set.
Wow,
so great.
And you saw his Comedy Central Presents way back in the day.
He has the most perfect Comedy Central Presents in my opinion.
He kind of
ends
really
with like Little Tortilla Boy, which is one of the greatest closers
actually,
of all time.
I don't think it ended with Little Tortilla
Didn't
Boy.
It?
I'm trying to remember. There's so many. He does that, the Schwarzenegger voice.
Yeah.
He talks about his roommate who's a stripper. Whipple splash, you sexy motherfucker. That's my favorite. And Jerry Springer, the knife. Use the knife. There's so much. You might be right, but I don't think he ends on he did the Tortillinator on Mad TV.
Yeah.
But he called it Little Tortilla Boy when he did the Comedy Central Presents.
Right.
So, but, and Funches, he's wearing this the shirt. And I'm like, oh, I love Kevin Steen. And I'm basically the only guy around the Comedy Store who knows exactly what's that all about. This is before this is like a year or two prior before him going to WWE, and that's very recent.
Mm-hmm.
So we hit it off from there, and he's super cool. And we got to get some of that Chinese food. ever since he said, I love bringing friends, including you guys if you want. I know a really good Chinese food place in the Valley.
Done.
I'll treat you guys if I have to.
Done. Can we take the retarded limo?
Yes, you can. We'll go from your place. You get to see my pain. So my ultimate goal in stand-up, since I wasted so many years doing nothing, is to...
I want to stop you there. Wasted, I mean...
I didn't do normal jobs. I was not productive.
But you were
figuring it out.
I feel like...
Granted, that's true.
I mean, there's always a way to look at like those... You know, I started stand-up at, what, 33?
I'm 31.
8 years, so 25.
Right.
Do I wish I started at 20? Fuck yeah. But I didn't. But I also am grateful that I like was in relationships and like soaked up a lot of college and the living that I did in those times.
Things worked out the same way for
everything
me.
You did prior to this has shaped you and built you for where you are now.
Yeah, I can't imagine doing it earlier now because everything worked out the way it did and I'm happy with it.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
But I didn't mean to talk over you.
No. But I wasn't even talking.
Sorry.
That's extra OCD.
Oh, yeah.
That's
I have a, people will tell you I have a tendency to over apologize by a lot. It's okay. And it's not a voluntary thing either. Here's the thing.
It's also if like that's your fucking, if that's your thing, and sorry to talk over you.
Oh, no. Much love. I'm not offended.
How do you feel
solidarity.
If people throw it back? Are you like, that's my fucking thing?
Well, no. I haven't cornered the market on apologies. Granted, I certainly am part of the larger stockholder, you know. Just Oh
my god,
so great.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Where were we even talking?
Goals and stand up.
No, before that.
Oh, okay.
Let's just go to the goals and stand up. Okay. My goal is ultimately to be a professional comedian, be independent, and I don't need to be high level. If that happens, I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth. But my ultimate goal is just to be a road comic, be on the road, not hacky, just good enough to get consistent gigs on the road. Even if it's at small places, get to see the world around me and earn a living doing it. And if anything bigger happens, fuck yeah. But if not, I'm content because that's everything I could ever want, seeing the world around me while doing something I'm good at that makes people happy, and I even get paid for it.
You're well on your way, my friend.
Much love, guys.
You want to travel?
Yeah, I
does the limo, does the RL, does
doesn't
the
R- work like that.
Does the RL go to Washington, D.C.?
Retarded limo. Yeah. Granted, I at least in it seems in major metropolitan areas,
okay,
there in towns surrounding it, that they have the similar services, but it's different company.
But you'd have to fly.
I'd have to travel with someone else, which is even better.
And I'm assuming there's no Asperger Airlines, or is
there? Oh, God. I hope it's much cheaper.
God, can you imagine crying babies? Whatever. Asperger Airlines.
God, dude, they have to reinforce the windows. They have to, like, they're not just bumping their heads against the windows because and getting their retinas detached.
Much Japanese anime porn is being blasted through the fucking
overhead
speaker.
That's the autism section. That's the autistic section.
Okay.
They because we're high functioning enough to be capable.
I just love the fact
it's so stupid,
Josh. Josh, I just love the fact that when because you were absolutely going to get there.
Yeah,
when you are a headliner comedian, they get to ask you. Before every show, because they ask me and they ask Adam, do you have any music you want to come out to? You get entrance music like a pro wrestler,
dude. That's whenever I do the main stage and Danny the sound guy. Sometimes without even asking me, he'll put on a wrestling theme. I love that guy. He comes to PWG too. So a bunch of us. When it comes crashing down and it hurts inside.
Good God Almighty! By God! That's Autistic Thunder's music!
By God! By God! Through Hellfire and Brimstone, it's Autistic Thunder!
Yeah, you guys doing it?
I would want, maybe, since I'm a big lumbering crazy person, I would get Kane's theme.
Kane's theme?
My God, the human body is not supposed to bend that way. Autistic Thunder imposing his will. That's a human being, God damn it.
My God, he's got a family. It's sad that Jim Ross doesn't commentate for WWE anymore. He's the only one that makes it feel like a sport. These days, I mainly pay attention to, like, the indies, because that's where all the fun shit happens, like Lego death matches.
Lego death matches.
Just look that up on YouTube. Just type that in. You're good to go. And then in Europe, Mexico, and Japan is where all the good pro wrestling is. Dude, last year, for the very first time, New Japan Pro Wrestling, which is the biggest company, they're like the Japanese WWE.
Yep.
The difference is in other countries outside of North America, except for Canada, because it's religion to them too, it's treated with such reverence. And with Lucha, it's religion. To Canada and Japan, it's a sport. It's treated like an actual sport in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Here it's treated like a joke.
Yeah,
and it's weird because we have the biggest company.
Yeah,
the most famous company. So in Japan, New Japan, they now for the first time they got popular enough to have their WrestleMania, it's Wrestle Kingdom, on American pay per view, and they got Jim Ross to commentate it, and it was awesome.
Awesome.
Good God Almighty, that 5'3" Japanese guy is imposing his will.
I've never seen someone get kicked so hard in the face. It's supposed to be fake, damn it. It's supposed to be fake. Seriously, those motherfuckers hit each other for real. Have you seen Japanese pro? It's called Strong Style.
I've seen it.
Yeah, dude, these motherfuckers.
It's not fake, huh?
It's still on the level in terms of pro wrestling. Yeah, it's always going to be, in a sense, fake. But in Japan, they are beating the fuck out of each other. They beat the
fuck out of each other. Just lariats and me, Matt Edgar, Paul Allaire, we went over to Ron Funch's place to watch it. And it's the best time. It's just like when we go to PWG. By the way, I hope it don't sound like I'm bragging. I'm happy to have friends to watch shit with. I didn't have that really before stand-up.
I love that you have the
You
friends.
Should be blasting that as much as possible.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, yeah, I mean, what were you doing before for these events?
Nothing. I thought I wanted to go into, like, if arcades still existed, I'm a big video game nerd, particularly arcades, like Neo Geo, fucking fighting games. I'm a big Street Fighter guy.
Brad, one of us needs to, when Josh is ready, take him on the road, and when we go to Portland or...
Chicago's got a great arcade. Okay. Galloping Ghosts Arcade.
Wait, isn't that one from King of Kong?
No. It might be, actually. This arcade is cool because it's the one of the largest collections of arcades, and you pay a one-time fee for the day and play as much as you want.
Wow.
If you could... Okay.
Either way, the fact you even just said you want me to go on rolling. You're too kind.
You need to look into hosting a talk show because you are very personable.
I have one idea.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I know.
I have one idea. I might start a podcast. This is true. I got to figure out the logistics again because I did a podcast once and it didn't go anywhere because I'm terrible. Anyways.
Well, this one was great and this is going to go everywhere.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I want to start a podcast specifically mainly about pizza. I'd be reviewing it, eating it on the air. But in the background, we'd mainly be talking about maybe just a little bit of movies, but mainly pro wrestling in the background. So it'd be disgusting and hilarious.
You had Adam Ray at pizza.
Yeah. You had Brad at wrestling in the background.
As East Coast Jews and Italians, we're one and the same. So, are you from the East Coast?
Everyone thinks so. No. Well, we always joke.
Italian,
we joke. We say I'm from Brooklyn, Seattle.
My dad's from Brooklyn, so.
Okay.
Actual Brooklyn. Back when it was mostly white.
What's your dad?
Jesus Christ.
Oh my gosh, your dad, Dr. Claw from Inspector Gadget?
That'd be great. I wake up to that. Dad, God damn it, Joshua. I said clean the room. I said take your meds.
Wait,
I can't do the.
Why did I have to have a son with autism? I'll get you, Josh. Next time.
Inspector Myra. He's autistic.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you guys so much for having me on. I hope to do it again, too. Trust me. If you guys will have me.
Wait.
We said good night, everybody.
Oh, I apologize. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to jump the gun. I got all excited and saying thank you. Wait, did I fuck up? Oh, shit.
No, you're fine.
Show. That's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know.
But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that
Brad Williams and Adam Ray can help you get through the fucking day. Just follow us on Twitter at Funny Brad, and I'm at Adam Ray Comedy.
This has been the About Last Night podcast. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's me, Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.